Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. There are currently no staffed wildfires in Alaska. The Alaska Fire Service reports that the last two crews working the Tikhovan Lake fire in the Yukon Flats south of Chalkeetsik demobilized yesterday. The AFS says crews secured a line around the 2,700-acre fire, but that there will still likely be some continued activity deep within the fire's perimeter. The Tikhovan Fire and the nearby Appleven Fire, which was declared out by firefighters last weekend, were both started by lightning strikes and discovered back on July 2nd. The Yukon Flats has been dry this summer, and an AFS release says hot weather this weekend raises the potential of new activity. 304 fires have burned nearly 229,000 acres in Alaska so far this summer, well below the state's normal of over 1 million acres. The state is looking for PFAS contamination in wells surrounding the former site of the Flint Hills Refinery in North Pole. Department of Environmental Conservation Contaminated Site Project Manager Jim Fish says the refinery had a firefighting training facility where foams containing perfluorinated compounds, known as PFAS, were used historically, and there was a cleanup in 2015.
It did get down to the water table. There are some monitoring wells on the refinery property that, you know, show that do have PFAS compounds in them. But the monitoring they've done has shown that it is not migrating off the refinery property.
Fish says the effort will be rolled into ongoing monitoring for another refinery chemical, sulfalane, which is known to have contaminated the aquifer in a large surrounding area.
Sulfalane is routinely monitored in the off-site wells or wells that are out within in the sulfalane plume. So DEC's taken advantage of that existing monitoring network and to include some test wells to look for PFAS compounds.
Fish says there's no concern about people in the refinery area potentially drinking PFAS-contaminated well water because residents of the neighborhood affected by sulfalane already have alternative drinking water supplies. But he says it's possible that any PFAS contamination could predate discovery of the sulfalane problem. Test results are expected this fall. Golden Valley Electric Association will pay the Environmental Protection Agency $126,000 in fines for emissions violations at its Healy 2 coal-fired power plant. An EPA complaint says mercury emissions at the GVEA facility exceeded a federal limit between August 2015 and November 2016, and the utility did not have a mercury monitoring system in place. Here's EPA Region 10 spokeswoman Suzanne Skidowski.
20% exceedance of the limit, you know, is not insignificant. But, you know, the point of this compliance action is to make sure that Golden Valley installs the controls that will prevent those emissions now and into the future.
GVEA General Counsel John Burns says the violations resulted from problems, including two small explosions, which interrupted operation of the previously long dormant facility.
Proved problematic in the ability to have these continuous compliance testing.
Burns says the utility has been in talks with the EPA about the issue since late 2015 and has reached an agreement to resolve the violations. Golden Valley environmental specialist Naomi Morton Knight says the agency has given GVEA an extension to demonstrate compliance, and she expects the Healy 2 plant to fall under the mercury and air toxics emissions limits.
Our coal is inherently very low in mercury, and our sister plant, Unit 1, has very, very low mercury emissions. So when we get this plant restarted and we're operating stable, we fully expect to meet all of the MATS emission limits.
Morton Knight says Golden Valley also agreed to install a system to conduct continuous mercury emissions monitoring at a cost of about $100,000. GVEA is again in the process of bringing the Healy 2 plant back into service. Healy 2 was shut down for repairs following the second 2016 explosion. Mercury is a well-known neurotoxin. The EPA website says mercury emitted into the air eventually settles to Earth, where it can accumulate in fish and animals. The Federal Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry says at high levels, mercury may damage the human brain, kidneys, and developing fetuses. Some Yukon River fishermen will be able to use drift gill nets to catch fall chum salmon beginning August 2nd. KNOM reports that the Alaska Board of Fisheries accepted an emergency petition for Yukon River Area Subdistrict 4A at a special meeting this week. The petition was filed by the native villages of Grayling, Anvik, Shagaluk, and Holy Cross on July 3rd. Board of Fisheries Executive Director Glenn Haight says the situation qualifies as an emergency.
If folks out there weren't going to be able to use this gear, it's going to be much harder to catch some of the chum salmon that they might otherwise catch. And given the concerns about king salmon and king salmon conservation, that was one of the factors that helped the board come to that conclusion.
This summer's Yukon River king salmon run came in right around the minimum forecast. That follows a trend of weak returns that have resulted in restricted fishing.
The numbers were low, but we're able to target some of the chums or the dogfish.
Eugene Paul is the Holy Cross tribal chief. He says melting permafrost and erosion have made set net fishing from the riverbank more difficult.
So they get a lot of this grass stuff that drifts into their net and gets full of this silt.
According to Board of Fisheries documents, drift nets have not normally been allowed in Subdistrict 4A since 1976. Fish Board Executive Director Glenn Haight says the emergency allowance runs for 120 days, but he expects the board to consider making it permanent. I'm Dan Bross.